Welcome to the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer's Sermon Podcast.
The readings appointed for this sermon are from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, verse 4 through 9a, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 11, verse 1 through 11, and Psalm 31, verse 9 through 16.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts always be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, the day of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on the back of a colt, with crowds spreading their cloaks or leafy branches on the road. Some went ahead of Jesus, others followed, and they were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." There is some account of this triumphal entry into Jerusalem in all four Gospels. In Matthew and Luke, the story of Jesus cleansing the temple happens immediately after his arrival in Jerusalem. But in Mark's gospel, the gospel we read today, the story of the cleansing of the temple happens the next day when Jesus returns. Our gospel reading today ends very simply. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. A very gentle ending to a very momentous day. We typically don't spend much time talking about Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, our prayer book and our lectionary race us ahead to the reading of the Passion, to reading and hearing of Jesus' crucifixion, a reading we would hear again on Good Friday. Isn't that kind of the way we lead our lives? Sometimes we race past the opportunity for celebration and we get on to what's next. I know that I do that. But Church of the Redeemer has a long history of devotion to walking with Jesus during Holy Week. And walking with Jesus every day of Holy Week. And so for those who show up again on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, hearing the Passion today and then stepping back and going to the days before can be quite jarring. So this year we're doing something different. We certainly are encouraging everyone to come as often as they can to participate in services this week. But for those who are not able to come between now and next Sunday, we will have a reading of the Passion a little bit after 10 o'clock in the chapel today. Or for those who just like to hear the Passion more than once, feel free to go to the chapel just after 10 o'clock today. But for the rest of us, today we are celebrating Palm Sunday. Actually, for all of us, we are celebrating Palm Sunday on Palm Sunday. There's something very special about acknowledging this day that we usually race past. And it gives us an opportunity to think about the experience of Palm Sunday. And I invite you to do this wholeheartedly, and also with curiosity. First, let's acknowledge that this is clearly a shift. Jesus is entering Jerusalem in a very public way, knowing the time has come, knowing what is to follow. Jesus has given very clear directions in preparation for his entrance. He tells his disciples where to find a colt that had never been ridden. He tells them how to respond if they are questioned. And he tells them to bring the colt to him. A colt that has never been ridden may indicate that it is to be used for a ceremonial purpose. And by riding the colt, he is setting himself apart. He normally would have entered Jerusalem on foot, as other pilgrims do, but this time he is riding the colt. And Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. Your king comes to you, riding on a donkey. Jesus knows fully what this day is about for him. But let's think a bit about the disciples. We place ourselves in kind of the disciples' sandals from time to time, and let's think about what this day might feel like for them. I mean, this is seemingly a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And they've heard Jesus talk several times now about the pain, about the suffering that will await him in Jerusalem. He's been very explicit about this. But here they are in the midst of crowds that are celebrating Jesus, that are acknowledging him, that are putting their cloaks down on the road before him, that are waving palms in welcome. It's almost as if this crowd is acknowledging Jesus' kingship. Isn't this what the disciples might have hoped for all along, for people to see Jesus as they see Jesus? Might there be a little, just a little glimpse of hope with them that perhaps Jesus got this wrong? Maybe things are not going to all fall apart in Jerusalem. Maybe there won't be suffering. Maybe there doesn't have to be death before resurrection in Jerusalem. Maybe they can avoid that part. Maybe they can just be fully with this celebration. Or some of them may be thinking, we've heard what Jesus says. We see this crowd welcoming us now, but we need to be on full alert because we know it will not stay this way. We know that the pain and the suffering is still to come. Thinking about the disciples more, are they walking along Jesus, flanking him? Might that be something we would have done? Or are some of them acting almost as an advance team, drawing the crowds, letting them know about Jesus, letting them know that here is the person they have been waiting for. Here is the Messiah. Way, way back in the when I was in my 20s, that was ancient history ago for me, I was very involved in political campaigns. And I can remember being part of an advance team. And our whole job was to arrive early and to get people excited about the candidate who was to come, to get them excited about meeting him, to give a preview of his message. I mean, it was a very exciting time. I wonder what it would be like to be an advance team for Jesus, to be able to tell people who Jesus was, why it was important that they meet him, know him. And we might ask, what are the disciples telling people to draw them to Jesus? In Matthew's gospel, they talk of how the city was stirred, the whole city was stirred by Jesus' arrival. And people were asking, who is this? And the crowds were responding, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. But what are the disciples telling people? How are they getting the people to turn out? How are they getting this incredible celebration? What would we tell people if we were the disciples? What do we tell people when we seek to introduce them to Jesus, when we want them to meet the Jesus we know and love? And thinking of the crowds, placing ourselves in the crowd, what questions do we have? Do we understand the symbolism of Jesus' entry? What has brought us this far, and what are we seeking? Pondering these things, I found myself remembering something that Jim Hanisian, a former rector here, said to me several decades ago. I'm pretty sure He was quoting someone else, but I only remember it coming from Jim. And he talked about how each of us shows up at church with a personal Jesus or God in our pocket, that we show up with this understanding of Jesus or God in our pocket, and that's what we carry through the doors. Over time, maybe that evolves, maybe it doesn't, but we have a very, very specific idea. So as we imagine ourselves along the road that Jesus is taking into Jerusalem, and we might have these individual expectations of what the one who comes in the name of the Lord will look like or act like, what he might say or do. How is this Jesus in the flesh comparing to our expectations, to the Jesus in our pocket? And are there specific reasons we are showing up? What are we looking for, hoping for, praying for? What do we hope for and pray for this Palm Sunday? Or like Mary, Martha's sister, do we simply want to be in the presence of Jesus, to listen, to sit at Jesus' feet? Are we able to see Jesus clearly? Are we able to love Jesus? Are we able to know him in this encounter? Even those disciples who followed him most closely, who walked with him daily, frequently didn't see who he was. What does this crowd see? What are we able to see? Crowds can have their own identity, their own energy. The examples we see of crowds in our day can range from pop concerts to political rallies to civil unrest. We see crowds in many different ways. And we know that crowds can be influenced and that crowds can turn. And as we reflect on this crowd, who will this crowd become as we walk through this week, as we walk through this week together? It can be very hard to stay in the present moment. Our minds just seem to be almost trained to race forward or race backwards. And there's no need for a spoiler alert here because we know this story. We know this story very well. But there is a deep commitment when we simply stay present to Jesus on this journey. When we simply stay present to ourselves and what is bubbling up within us on this journey. When we simply stay present to each other, to those we love. We may know that suffering is coming, but it's not in this moment of celebration on Palm Sunday. So let's let that wait. We may be anticipating a joyful celebration next Sunday, but it's still a full week off. Let's let it come when it comes. Let us be with Jesus, with ourselves, with those close to us in the very unpredictable journeys of our lives. Not needing to leap forward or backward, but to take in each exquisite moment as it comes. For those of us who are facing serious situations with people, heartbreak, things that seem out of our control, let us stay in the precious moments we are given each time. Let us learn and let us strive to be fully present with love, to walk together with love in the joyous times and the painful times, the times of unknowing, always walking together in Christ's love. I'd like to close with these thoughts from a poem, A Blessing, by Jan Richardson, from her book, Circle of Grace. And the poem, or blessing, is called Blessed is the One. It was written for Palm Sunday. Blessed is the one who comes to us by the way of love, poured out with abandon. Blessed is the one who walks toward us by the way of grace that holds us fast. Blessed is the one who calls us to follow in the way of blessing and the path of joy. Blessed is the one. Amen.